And so this decision by A.G. Garland in 2021 basically pushes things back, in my opinion, thankfully, to where things were before, such that now PSGs, particular social groups that are built around family relationships and domestic violence, have a better chance of being found cognizable, or at least there's not a presumption that they're not cognizable. And there are supposed to be some regulations coming out. Last I heard, it was supposed to be this fall, but I haven't heard updates recently, to try to more clearly define what it takes to have a viable particular social group. There was actually, let's see, is this what the Fifth Circuit case? Yeah, so there was a Fifth Circuit case within the last few days, or it was published in the last few days, that very, very narrowly defined what could possibly be a viable PSG, that sort of walked back things to something probably closer to a Trump-era interpretation. So it's this memo or the decision by Garland to vacate these decisions from the Trump administration is definitely not a panacea. Like, it's still not that easy to win asylum cases around cases based on these family relationships and domestic violence. Often, what I find is that even if an asylum officer, an IJ, accepts that that the social group is valid, in looking for a way to deny the case, they'll say, okay, well, there's no nexus to it. Maybe that is a group. That is a thing that we'll accept as a PSG, but the harm that you suffered or fear, we're not convinced that it would be on account of your membership in that group. So it's definitely not like it's super easy things now to win those kinds of cases.
So I'm going to start off by talking about the Migrant Protection Program, which I'll just call Remain in Mexico, because I agree with Sarah. I think it's like the dumbest name for a program because it doesn't really reflect what the program actually did. And it was announced in December of 2018 by the Trump administration. And it was one of the, I think, beginning kind of policies that was like this attack on asylum in general. And what it essentially said is anyone coming along the southern border that wants to apply for asylum must now remain in Mexico for your own protection, quote unquote. But and what it created were these tent courts, we'll call them, at these ports of entry, where individuals who are coming forward to seek asylum were told you can't enter. And it was in conjunction with the metering policy that was also put into place by the Trump administration along the border as well, too, that limited the number of people who could actually come into the United States to apply for asylum. So people were forced to remain in Mexico along the northern border and then report for court dates. It was highly problematic, one, because it really limited people's access to the courts. I think it was in violation of our U.S. laws, our U.S. asylum laws, and our international treaty obligations, which is why there was a suit that was filed shortly thereafter when the program was fully implemented in the beginning of 2019. So you saw like these horrible things happening with individuals who are now being targeted in the northern parts of Mexico. They lived in tents in really terrible conditions. They had no access to legal information, and they were oftentimes targeted for kidnapping, for, you know, assaults, rapes, all these different things because they were migrants and they were a vulnerable population. We had a number of clients that we did motions to reopen for that were referred to us for individuals who were in Mexico who missed their who missed their initial court date because they had been kidnapped and they couldn't come to their hearing and they had been ordered removed in absentia. And so these were the things that were happening during MPP and Remain in Mexico. So like I said, there was an actual lawsuit that was filed. And that remained pending, the lawsuit was filed. The district court agreed with the individuals who filed the lawsuit, which was the Center for Gender Refugee Studies, SPLC, and the ACLU, which argued that MPP was outside of, that it violated the laws, the U.S. laws, congressional intent for asylum, and our international treaties. The district court agreed. And then the Trump administration appealed. And while it was working through court, we continued along with MPP until COVID hit. So MPP ran from January of 2019 until March of 2020, essentially, when everything shut down. So then you had even worse conditions because you had these people who were still in Mexico. There were no courts and nothing was happening. And then we had another election, and the Trump administration is no longer, and instead now we have the Biden administration. And one of the campaign points that President Biden had was MPP is wrong, MPP is in violation of our laws, we are going to dismantle MPP. So in February of 2021, after he took office, he started to do that. His administration took a look at it. Secretary Mayorkas issued a memo saying MPP is not legally valid, we're not doing it anymore, and we're dismantling it. So they started to wind down MPP in February of 2021, which really had not been functioning since March of 2020 anyway. There were no hearings or anything because of COVID. And then in June of 2021, DHS announced the expansion of processing of individuals who were in MPP into the United States, right? So they were slowly processing people in so then they could apply for asylum. And then...